Your skin is clammy. There's grit behind your eyeballs. A solitary owl hoots. The world lays creepily silent.
Children of the night.
Then a shadowy figure emerges from the darkness.
The problem is 99% of the planet doesn't know who he is.
Who is that guy?
A rebel. A guardian of everything that's fair in this dog-eat-dog world. One man with an opinion, a studio hotline, and 5 hours to kill.
Let's do this thing.
Bad of the ball. Around Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M! Welcome to The Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Friday morning. It's the third already. It's the 3rd of November. It is where I'm sitting anyway. 133353. G'day, Tom. How are you?
I'm good, Luke. How are you?
Very, very good. Where are you?
I'm just going through Narang on the M1 at the moment on the Gold Coast.
Okay, what do you do?
I'm a truck driver. I deliver newspapers to all the news agencies from the print.
Oh, good on you. So you get to read the news first?
I've never read one in my life.
Have you got...
I think I was born a little bit too late for reading newspapers.
Oh, what? What do you mean?
I'm only 24.
And you've never read a newspaper?
Oh, I used to read the Sunday Mails, but that was just for the comics.
Really? So how do you get your news and your information?
Through you, usually.
Through me? Gee, there's a there's a responsibility.
I just wanted to bring up and touch on the e-cigarettes and the vaping.
Yeah, what do you make of them?
Well, I'm 24 at the moment. I've been smoking since I was about 12, 13, so a bit over 10 years. And I started vaping on Boxing Day of last year. And since then, I haven't touched a cigarette at all. I haven't even had a drag of one.
Really?
I've been smoking about maybe 30, 40 cigarettes a day.
Yep.
Spending close to 150 a week on them, and just quit just like that.
Because of the vapor.
Yeah, just because of the vapor. Like, I tried the patches. I tried the gum. It actually got to the point where I was wearing a patch, chewing the gum with a cigarette in my mouth.
Yeah, getting a massive
hit. Work.
Obviously, it just didn't work. And I wonder if the vaping not only replaces, obviously, nicotine. You can have vapors without nicotine, I'm told.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you have the nicotine in the liquid, you're replacing the nicotine. But from what I understand, the most important part of the vaping is the actual putting something in your mouth, inhaling and blowing out.
Yeah, it's the oral fixation.
Yeah.
Feeling like you're dragging on something and then exhaling something.
Yes.
That's why you see a lot of people chew, like, toothpicks and that sort of stuff when they're trying to stop. But, I found it helps me. And when I first started, so when you buy the juice that has nicotine in it, you can choose what strength you want. So I started with 12 milligrams, which is like a red cigarette, like Marlboro Reds. So I started with that, and then I dropped it down to 6 after a couple of months. And now I've dropped it down to 3, and it'll eventually get to the point where I won't need nicotine at all.
Yeah, I wonder if you'll still need to do the oral thing, the putting something in your mouth and inhaling and blowing out, because you actually can see what appears to be smoke coming out, but it's vapor.
Yeah, and that's like really, as weird as it sounds, quite satisfying, that feeling.
Yeah.
Actually, like seeing the vapor come out of your mouth. But yeah, like, I reckon vaping changed me. My wife doesn't smoke and she wouldn't touch me if I've had a cigarette. Like, I come home from work smelling like cigarettes, but I have to go, have a shower, brush my teeth, all that before she'd even touch me.
Yeah.
And now it doesn't matter. Like, I can sit down in the lounge room, watch a movie, and she couldn't care less because every time I exhale, it smells like watermelon.
Right. You get the different flavors as well.
Oh, yeah, there's thousands of them. That's why. But, like, I'll vape in public and that sort of stuff, but I'll only vape in places where smoking's allowed.
But why can't you vape in a non-smoking area if you're not smoking?
I think it's because, I mainly vape in smokers' areas just to avoid that confrontation. you know, you don't want to be sitting there at a pub just in an outside area, have a vape, and then have someone come up, ask what you're doing, and then have to explain to them. Like, oh, I'm not actually smoking, I'm vaping. It's, you know, there's no cancer, there's no carcinogens.
Has that ever happened to you? Have you vaped and had someone say something?
It used to happen every day. I was dropping a customer home. I used to be a mechanic, and I was dropping the customer home in my car. And, I pulled my vaporizer out and, you know, blew it out the window. And she goes, oh, sorry, can you not smoke when you're next to me? And then I've had to, like, explain to her what it was and, you know, ask her, I'm like, does it smell foul? Does it smell like, you know, a cigarette? Like, how a cigarette smells, any of that? And, yeah, she actually took a whiff of it and actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to mind. I think it's just that stigma.
The question I want to, there's a lot of questions I want to ask, but your vapor, was it a gift? You said Boxing Day. Was it a Christmas gift or did you buy it?
No, I bought it. So you buy a tank and you buy a mod. A mod's just got two batteries and a chip in it that feeds power to your tank. The whole setup that I've got all up cost about $140. And that's just a one-off thing. And the juice, I spend $60 on juice that I get brought in from America. That'll last me 2.5 months.
So you're ahead.
Oh, by far.
Do you feel better?
From 150 a week. Oh, mate, it's ridiculous. Yeah. You... I wake up, I don't have like a filthy taste on my breath. I don't wake up tired. My breaths come back. Well, I used to box. And when I was smoking, you know, I was rubbish. I could barely go 3 or 4 rounds. And now my cardio's right up there. It's like I've never smoked.
No, there you go. But why can't we give these things out if it's going to get people off cigarettes? You know, we're keen to give out free needles. Why don't we give these things out?
Well, how much does it cost to make a needle?
I don't know.
Not much. How much does it cost to make one of these? There's a fair bit in them. And they're all like, they're all made overseas and brought in. And why would the government give out something for free when they've got something that they make so much money off, like cigarettes?
Yeah. They're illegal, aren't they?
They're not illegal. The setup is legal. There are some states in Australia that are trying to fight to make it illegal, but where the problem comes in is with the actual juice itself. So
you can
buy any juice in Australia. It's just illegal to sell it with nicotine. But you can buy juice that has nicotine and import it from America or New Zealand, and that's fine. It's okay to import, but you can't buy it in Australia. Go figure.
Funny, funny, funny stuff. And all right, thanks for your call, Tom. Good to talk to you. Deliver your newspapers.
Thanks, mate. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. 133353. Jessica is online. G'day, Jess.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Jessica. What's up?
I just want to talk to you about the connection between domestic violence and alcohol and the trying to bring in to close bottle shops and stuff in areas.
Yeah, that's right.
Or new ones from opening. So
if you've just joined us, there is a call to overhaul. This is in New South Wales, but the rest of Australia is watching this. They believe that there's a correlation between the number of bottle shops and licensed premises and domestic violence. And they want to overhaul licensing laws in domestic violence hotspots. Do you think it'll work?
I personally don't know. I actually grew up in a house with domestic violence. My parents separated because of alcohol abuse and domestic violence. And it was just, like, it was horrendous as a child, but I don't think it's going to make any difference because if a person that's affected, whether it's male or female, is addicted to alcohol and that's the connection between alcohol and domestic violence, it doesn't matter if they overhaul the bottle shops or don't allow any more to open, they'll just get it from elsewhere.
Yeah.
They'll get it on their way home from work or they'll travel to go get it because they've got that addiction to it.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll change. I think it'll make things worse, actually.
Do you really?
Because you think if a person's addicted to alcohol, they've been drinking, they're going to get in their car and they're going to drive while they're affected. Like there's... Yeah, it's not as easy as just saying we'll overhaul bottle shops or not allow any more to open. I think there's a bigger problem than just bottle shops and pubs.
Yeah, do you see a connection between domestic violence and alcohol?
Absolutely.
But you don't believe cutting down or shutting down of liquor outlets in domestic violent hotspots would work?
No.
Because
people will just go elsewhere to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. I wonder, 133353 is the number. Tell me about your background. What's your story?
So my father was a heavy drinker as a child, and my mum was then affected by domestic violence because of alcohol abuse. And, you know, growing up seeing that as a kid, it's not the nicest thing, but I don't drink because of it. I actually called a couple of months ago when you had a thing on alcohol and domestic violence back then. And, yeah, I just don't think it'll change anything.
Yeah, so you grew up with two parents who drank heavily?
No, just one side. So
just your dad. Just your dad. And did your mum know that he was a heavy drinker when she married him?
I think it got worse as time went on.
It got worse. Yeah. And he would be...
So it started off a little bit and then more and more and more and more each day. And it's like he came codependent on it.
Yeah.
Couldn't function without a drink.
Did he work?
Yeah. Maintained his job.
When would he drink?
So just when he got home from work or...
And what would he drink?
Sometimes, normally just beer, but then it was beer and wine. And then never spirits, just beer and beer and wine, really.
And would he get plastered?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's to the point where he couldn't buy cases of beer because he'd just drink it. So he'd buy a six-pack, but then he'd always send mum, and then when we got licences, it would pick me up this on the way home or pick me up this on the way home, and it just wasn't worth it for you if you didn't do it.
Oh, dear, oh dear. And you don't drink because of that. Look, Jessica, thank you for your story. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks for your point of view, and that's what we're after here, opinions. 133353, would the shutting down licensed premises curb domestic violence in domestic violence hotspots? 133353. This is the Night Shift on the Triple M network. It's Tammy time.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tammy, our favourite sex worker here exclusively on the Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network. How are you, my darling?
Honoured to be your favourite.
Beg your pardon?
Honoured to be your favourite.
Well, you are, but can I also say you're the only sex worker we talk to on the Night Shift, so there you are.
Well, that you know of.
No, that I know of, that's true. There could be, we could have spoken to a number of them and we just didn't know it.
Mm.
We just didn't know it. It's very late at night or early in the morning for you. Are you working or are you got tonight off?
No, tonight off.
Okay, all right. What does a sex worker do on their night off?
Well, as you know, I've got regular work as well, so that's been my focus. So,
Right. You have another job, and we won't ask you what it is because we don't want to give away your identity. Because sometimes you're Wonder Woman, and sometimes you're just Lois Lane.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, how you been?
Very well, thank you.
We had an interesting discussion on email throughout the week. Last time you and I spoke on the air, we were talking about the fact that some customers will do anything to try and have sex with a professional sex worker without using a condom, and how fraught with danger that is. And you were telling us that no sex worker in their right mind would ever allow it. But for some, it must be tempting because you were saying that sometimes men will offer enormous amounts of extra money for that extra service.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, there's no amount of money that makes it okay as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But during one of our email conversations, you were talking about how, in your opinion, a lot of Australian men don't really know what women want. And last time we spoke, we talked about this, that there were parts of the body that we just don't understand. It's a mystery and a maze down there, Tammy.
But yeah, it is much simpler than that, though, isn't it, from what I put to you?
Yes, it did. So we thought we would just take another step this morning, because you were saying that you would like to explain to the men listening what it is that women really want. Because I don't know if a lot of Australian men really do. Some of them might think they do, but do they? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean, it's simple things. I would be very presumptuous of me to assume to know exactly what every woman wants in the bedroom as far as the mechanics of things. But I think there's some little basic things that all men can do that I'm pretty sure the majority of women listening would agree that it'd make the whole experience much more pleasant for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we want to keep this as tasteful as we can, but we also want to educate people. So take us through it.
So, you know, I think first on the list I mentioned, you know, trimming your fingernails. Hands are often involved, and so sharp bits, sharp fingernails are not ideal on delicate tissue.
Right. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, fellas, file back your fingernails. Manicure.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I guess it comes back to the discussion around the no condom issue. You know, show a little bit of respect towards a woman's sexual health. If, you know, condoms are to be worn, then honour that. Don't pressure. Don't, you know, attempt to sneak it any other way. It's incredibly degrading and off-putting. So, you know, don't do it. If you're not okay with wearing a condom and that's what's required, then move on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, biting and those sorts of more aggressive acts, some women are all for that, but the majority are not. I would recommend asking before engaging in that kind of activity.
So, yes, see, once again, it all gets down to, I think, what, and let's talk about the younger men listening to us who have been brought up on porn. Yes. And you've talked about this before. What you see in porn isn't real life.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I know I'm not alone in saying that it's probably one of the biggest turnoffs there is pain. Any painful act is not appealing at all. But, you know, for some women, that's what they do enjoy, which is fine. But you might want to have that discussion before you engage in those activities, or you could lose the interest in your partner.
Yeah. The consumption of alcohol. A lot of men feel they're friskiest when they've had a few drinks, but then often because of the alcohol, there's no performance.
I've seen both spectrums of that. So, you know, but probably more often than not, alcohol is going to hinder performance and is going to leave things somewhat more difficult to achieve.
So if you're planning a romantic night, pull back on the grog.
I think definitely.
Yeah.
That would be wise if you want to be delivering, to your best performance.
Yeah. I forget how many years ago it was. It wasn't that long ago, but it's probably longer than we think, when Viagra came into the world. How did that change things?
Look, I mean, Viagra is an interesting medication and has a lot to offer. It was originally invented, actually, to treat a condition of low blood pressure. So people who suffer from, really severe low blood pressure can often faint and fall over, and it's obviously very unpleasant. And so the drug company actually were targeting that condition when they invented the product. And happened to notice that it had a rather
interesting side
effect. The Pfizer then very quickly realised that they had a lot more money to be made targeting a different issue with the medication, and Viagra was born. I think it absolutely has improved the sex lives of those men who have had prostate issues or other issues that have left them with a degree of erectile dysfunction. But it's not to be taken lightly because of that effect on blood pressure. If you've already got a cardiovascular or heart issue, and particularly an issue with your blood pressure, and then you add this medication into the mix, you're definitely playing with fire in a sense, and you could be putting yourself at risk. And it's important to remember too, a lot of men actually experience erectile dysfunction as being the first symptom of their cardiovascular or their heart disease. So if you're finding that you're not performing all of a sudden, or you're finding it harder to perform in bed, then it's a really good signal to talk to your doctor about maybe getting a heart checkup.
Okay, that's very good advice, Tammy. Very, very good advice. What if there's erectile dysfunction, but there's also absolutely no libido?
So that's a much harder challenge. There's not as many medications to help with that.
Viagra and Cialis, they can help erectile dysfunction, but they can't give you a libido.
No, that's right. They're designed for, you know, the mechanics, not the psychology around, you know, sexual desire. If there's no desire, then you're not going to take the pill, one would think. And they are two very different things.
Yes. So one is psychological, one is mechanical.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Do you ask clients if they've taken medication before they see you?
It doesn't tend to be a discussion. We do have a few clients that will disclose that they're on certain medications that may impair their erectile function. Antidepressants in particular can be a major problem for a lot of men. And, you know, to save embarrassment, they disclose that they're on those medications so that we don't feel that, you know, a lack of response is in any way due to a poor performance. And I have heard stories of certain establishments that have, you know, a bowl of little blue pills ready to go, and certain clients that would pay a little extra at the door to get, you know, a pill. I think that practice is incredibly dangerous for the reasons I just discussed.
I would have thought it was illegal because they're prescription.
Absolutely.
It's prescription so medication.
Illegal, dangerous, risky, all of those things, yeah.
After we spoke last time, and that might have been the first time we spoke, I can't remember, I got an email from a lady who wanted to ask you a question. You were talking about how you often get married men as clients because you, and I'm sure this happens with sex workers everywhere, sex workers will do things sometimes that a wife won't do. And the email wanted to ask, do you ever feel guilty if you know you're having sex with a married man?
I don't, because I know that it's a business transaction. I'm not going to, you know, get involved with that person. I certainly don't want him to leave his partner. I have no intentions of going out for dinner or having, you know, shopping trips or raising his children. It's a purely business, you know, sexual interaction.
It's a business transaction. That's it.
That's it.
Have you ever been tempted to have a relationship with a client?
No.
Never even tempted?
No. Certainly not with a married one, no.
But married or not married?
Oh, look, there are some gentlemen that are absolutely delightful to spend time with, and you do, you know, begin to wonder whether or not, you know, there could be a true connection there. But, you know, there's plenty of stories in the industry of where that's gone very wrong too.
Yeah. And I wonder if you did form a relationship with a client, would he be jealous then of what you do? Would he insist that you give up? I'm sure you've had plenty of men say, "Oh, Tammy, let me take you away from all of this. Let me rescue you, like in Pretty Woman."
Yeah, absolutely. You get that offer, and as I always point out to those gentlemen, rescue me from what? I actually want to be here. You'd be hindering me. You'd be getting in the way, in a lot of ways. It's a nice thought, but I think we need to understand that the majority of women in the industry in Australia want to be there. Choose to be there.
Yeah, you told us once, but we have new listeners coming in and out all the time. Folks, this is Tammy, who rang me, golly, shortly after we started, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was around the issue of the disabled clients or clients with, you know, severe Asperger's that or autism that are unable to, you know, find a connection in day-to-day life, and their carers or their parents taking them to sex workers for that.
That's right. It would have been soon after we started this program. Mm. And so from time to time we talk to Tammy because it's interesting. It's another world that you live in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I try not to live in it, but it is a very, very different world.
Do your friends know what you do, or do you have two separate lives?
Oh, look, some do. Some, it's just not really something that we need to discuss, so it's not discussed.
Yeah, because you have another job, and so they think that other job is your job. They have no idea that Lois Lane turns into Wonder Woman.
Well, they'd have no reason to suspect, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you told us the first time you rang, you got into the sex industry because, one, the money was attractive, but you enjoyed sex.
Mm.
Have you ever gone to work as a sex worker and not felt like it, but you've had to go through with it because, or do you not turn up when you don't feel like it?
Yeah, that's never happened to me. So, yeah, I guess I'm lucky like that. That's not been an issue for me.
Never, ever. Every time you go to work as a sex worker, you're up and ready for it.
Absolutely. I've always said the day it feels like I'm going to work, I'm not going anymore.
Hmm. Have you ever had a client turn up expecting a service and you've refused?
Absolutely.
And why would you refuse? What would the grounds of refusal be?
That it was unsafe, unsavoury, it was going to be painful or unpleasant in any way, or, you know, if you know, I felt that I was putting myself at any risk.
Yeah. If there are any questions you've got for Tammy, you can email them to us and I'll pass them on. The email is nightshift@triplem.com.au. And you happy to answer questions?
Oh, more than happy to.
Yeah, because you're very, very frank. I'll let you go. It's another world. Some would say it's a seedy world. Some would say that you are actually performing a service to people who otherwise wouldn't be able to have a physical relationship.
I certainly see it like that. I've seen men transform psychologically just with having that little connection. So, you know, I like to think that what I do in that world is really benefiting people more than hindering any relationships.
Yeah. So, in wrapping up, what do women want?
Look, I mean, to continue on those things I said, you know, look after your personal hygiene, be respectful, you know, think, is that going to be pleasant for her, or what would I want her to do if I was going to be involved in those activities with her? You know, if it just think, put a little bit of preparation in, you know, and show some respect, you know. It really comes down to treating your woman with the same level of respect and kindness you would show your sister or mother, and, you know, it'll pay you back, that's for sure.
All right. Well, once again, enlightening to talk to you, Tammy. You take care of yourself and we'll be in touch.
Well, thank you very much. You have a great morning.
So will you go straight to sleep now? Or are you up? What I don't know, what sort of hours do you keep?
Oh, yeah, so I've got a few more hours now before I'll be up and do my morning routine. I like to go for a run and get a few things out of the way before I start work. So, yeah, I keep some strange hours even from my regular work. So it fits in well.
All right. When do you plan to give it away?
Look, I mean, like I said, I've been in and out of the industry for about 13, 14 years, so things are ramping up. I am getting much busier with my regular work at the moment, and so, you know, there's being less and less time to involve in or indulge in my sex life. So, you know, can I say never ever? No, I can't. But, you know, there are stages in my life where I do have to put it on the back burner in order to, you know, achieve my other goals in life. But can I just say it doesn't mean that I go without.
Are you in a relationship?
I am, yes.
Oh, and does he know what you do?
Yes.
And he hasn't got a problem with it?
Not at all.
Because for a lot of people, sex is very intimate, and it's a one-on-one, it's an exclusive thing, and that's where jealousy comes in, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I think.
How do you get over that?
I'm open, honest, full disclosures, no secrets. It's honesty.
And if your male friend, your personal friend, if he was to have sex with another woman, would you have a problem with that?
If he was open and honest about it, no.
But the men that you have sex with professionally, That's it. It's completely professional. You have that barrier. If he was to have sex with another woman and he was fond of this other woman, that makes it different, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if he were to do that, it would be in the same context as what I do it. So, I have no problem with that.
See, people have different boundaries and different rules.
Mm.
Me, I'm one dog, one bone.
Yeah. Look, it's not for everyone, and it probably wasn't always for me either, but, I'm just at a stage now, he lives his life and does his thing, and I live my life and do my thing, and when we can be together, we're together. But really, we're independent individuals and, with open, honest and frank discussions around those things to ensure, that it's a respectful relationship in that way.
Well, look, it takes all sorts. I certainly don't judge. I enjoy meeting different people. You're a special one, Tammy, and I enjoy your company. And I thank you very much. I hope you get some rest now.
Oh, of course. All right. You have a great morning.
See you, mate.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. If you do have a question for Tammy, I'll pass on your emails, nightshift@mmm.com.au. Could you do that? Could you have... Would you be able to allow your partner to have a sexual relationship with other people and not be bothered by it at all? Sort of goes against the grain, doesn't it? But then again, we've had the discussion on this program, is monogamy normal? Are we meant to have sex with as many people as possible? Is the whole marrying someone, that one person, and being with only one person for the rest of your life, is that a man-made rule that's unnatural? I don't know, let's discuss. 133353 is the phone number. Plenty to talk about this morning. It's Friday, and it is the night shift on the Triple M network. Just before I get back to calls, I happened to be watching, I don't know how, it was just on, that show on Channel 10. What is it?
Studio 10.
Studio 10. Do you know what's really annoying about that show, by the way? Jessica Rowe, when she laughs, she snorts. Have you noticed that? She goes, ha ha ha. It's really annoying.
Do you want me to take out the parchment scroll of all your annoying traits?
No, probably
not. We don't need to bag people.
No, but I just think what's the time? Would the producers be on their way to work? Can you just do something about the snorting?
Stop it.
It's really annoying.
Stop it.
But anyway, John Edward, the man who smells dead people, talks to dead people, was on the program yesterday. We interviewed John Edward. We're like that, aren't we? Anyway, I said to John Edward when Jess and I spoke to him, I said, are you getting anything from me? He said, no, just a bad odour. He didn't pick up on anything, did he?
No.
Which I was really disappointed about.
We were keen.
Because I talked to my dad a lot. I lost dad 21 years ago. And I was hoping that he might be picking up something. No. He said nothing, didn't he?
Yeah, nothing at all.
Nothing at all. But anyway, he was talking to members of the audience of Studio 10 yesterday, and there was this one lady in particular that he picked out, and I just want to ask the question. Do you reckon it's fair dinkum, or is it a trick? 133353 is the telephone number. Do you believe in mediums? Do you believe that people can talk and channel dead people?
I think so.
Do you?
I think, I definitely think there are good spirits and bad spirits, and some people are able to make contact. I do worry, however, that it's more evil than good, and it's maybe something we shouldn't be tampering with.
There used to be a lady, I think she's gone now, she's passed on. I don't know, I have to ask John Edward.
Oh, my God.
And her name, stop it, her name was Doris Stokes, and she did what John Edward did. Purportedly does, and there was a bloke, he's a skeptic, he's a world-renowned skeptic, James Randi, and Doris Stokes used to go on the Don Lane show a lot and talk to the audience and do what John Edward does. Anyway, James Landy, Randi came on the Don Lane show and said it was a hoax, and that he showed how these people can withdraw and extract information from their victims. Is that the right word? The people that they're talking to by using tricks, and that they're not really guessing anything. Anyway, Don Lane got the shits with James Randi. It's a famous piece of television. Go to YouTube and have a look at it. Don Lane, James Randi, blow up. And Don Lane says, you can piss off. And he smashes the glass of water and storms off the set. It's a famous piece of Australian television. Anyway, I'm just asking the question. Are these people fair dinkum? Now, I'm going to play a little bit of audio. This was John Edward talking to this woman in the audience at Studio 10, right? You are pretty impressed. Me, not so much. Let's, as they say, go to the videotape.
Welcome back to Studio 10. Psychic medium John Edward is with us this morning, reading our audience. Take it away, John.
I got to bring up the horse. You have a horse that's passed?
My friend.
What's the big deal that it's a horse? Like, is it
he
like...
He loved it. It was a Clydesdale.
The friend that you said your friend?
Yeah.
Okay, is that friend passed?
Yes.
Oh, so your friend is with the horse. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out why the horse. So that would let you know that it's that friend?
Yes.
Gotcha. And you were the one that asked me the question, correct?
Yes.
Gotcha. So why is October or the 10th of a month significant?
He passed just in October.
Ooh. You impressed?
I'll keep going.
Okay. And did the horse pass before him?
Yes.
Ooh. Are you impressed?
Keep going.
And where's BR? Like Brendan, Brian, Brandon. Who's the BR name? There's got to be Barbara. There's a BR name that they want me to highlight, either living or past.
Hang on. There's BR, Brendo, BR, BR. Brendo. Brandon.
Brian.
Barbara.
Brisket.
Barbara. There's a Barbara, maybe.
Remember that I'm saying this. So connected to this, is okay. Something BR related in some way. Does he have a sister?
No.
Oh.
No sister.
He wants me to acknowledge the other female.
Daughters.
If his daughters would be your age.
Her age.
Who's her?
My daughter.
Oh, hello. So he knows you too? You would know him too?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the contemporaries would be to you. So his kids are your contemporaries?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there like two or three kids for the family or?
Two.
Are there two or three?
Good guess.
Two. Okay. Close enough.
So I'm supposed to talk about, did he view you as being like one of the girls? Like, so like my three girls kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if there was a brain tumor.
Yes.
Okay. Is that for him?
Yes.
I feel like I'm supposed to acknowledge the brain tumor, but I want to go back when I, what I said earlier. There's a BR, not as in brain tumor, but a BR as in a person. So there's something about like Brendan or...
But...
Not sure.
Yeah, because it would be Robert and Bob.
Yeah.
If somebody called him Bob. Where's that?
Hang on. Bob, BR, BR. I've never heard of Bob spelt with a BR, but we'll continue.
That's my dad.
Husband. Yeah.
Okay. Is he still here?
Yeah, best friends.
I feel like I need to, well, I wasn't going to say that, actually.
Awesome.
I was supposed to.
You were supposed to get it right.
I was going to say that I was going to talk about them as being like mortal enemies in some weird way. Like, is there a joke?
Yeah,
I'm listening to it.
They were always
competitive.
Idiots.
Well, I'm going to go my way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that what they're showing me is that we're going head to head. So I don't know if the two of them went head to head in being idiots, like who can out idiot the other one.
Yes.
And they did stupid things.
Yes.
Okay. Like, you know, who could do this the fastest, the farthest, who could do this, who could do that. But I feel like I'm supposed to tease him like he's my adversary.
Yes.
Maybe it's in a positive way. But if you didn't say that, I would have just went like they're going like this. But like with that, you know, Superman needs his Lex Luthor. Like, I feel like they've got this kind of a thing. Now, did
romance.
They say it again?
A bromance.
A bromance. Okay.
Well, BR. You spell bromance with a BR. Now I feel better.
Did their bromance go for years?
Yes.
Like, did he know him before he knew you?
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like I come first. Like, I came first.
Yes.
And what happened with the roof?
My husband fell through it.
Ooh. That's good.
Mm.
That's good.
That's a good one.
Okay, I'll give him that.
Yeah, go on.
Because he's telling me to talk about the story with the roof. So that might have been one of those things. I don't know.
Yes.
Was he there when that happened? Or?
No.
So this is important. You said he fell through the roof. Did he fall through the roof after he passed?
No.
Okay. Because if they do that, if they show me information about what took place after, then that's their way of basically saying, I see what's taking place.
Yeah.
And I know that the horse is there, but there's a dog here too.
Yes.
I need to acknowledge the dog.
Yeah.
So when they memorialized him, did they memorialize him with a photo of the dog?
I did.
He's thanking.
On his coffin, yeah.
He's acknowledging the photo of the dog.
Yes. It was him and the dog on the beach.
All right. What do you reckon?
Oh, come on. It's pretty... It's not bad.
It's not... Is it 50-50?
No, it's more than 50-50. He's got it pretty all right.
What do you reckon, folks? It goes on. 133353 is the telephone number. Are these people fair dinkum? Have you been to one of these clairvoyants? Do they extract information? We still haven't got BR. We notice we've passed... we've gone past BR. 133353 is the telephone number.
I'd love to know if anyone's ever sat in one of those audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon they try and talk to the producers or they try and get some info out of the people sitting in the audience before? What goes on behind the scenes?
Let us know. 133353, this is The Night Shift.
On Triple M.